The Money Show.
Personal Finance.
Warren Ingram, Personal Financial Advisor, Executive Director at Galileo Capital. We've spoken about bonds more times this year than I think I have in total in the rest of my life. For most people, Warren Ingram, a bond is a thing you have on your house and you have to pay back the bank every month for 20 years. And then you have this bond settled, hopefully within that period of time, and then you own your house for the first time. But that's not the kind of bond we are talking. That or James Bond, or a glue that bonds bits of furniture together. This is a financial instrument. You said I must deliver dad jokes. I'm doing that. So there we go. I'm obliging.
So I mean, you're right. And I think we've spoken about it quite a bit. But you know, we're getting people emailing you and asking for these. So I guess it's time to get a refresher. So there are basically two kinds of bonds, and as you say, we're not talking about what the banks call mortgages, which are the things on your property. We're talking about bonds, which are investments. Our beloved National Treasury, just to confuse things, they launched a new investment a few years ago called an RSA Retail Savings Bond. And then that just confused people even more, because that's also not what we've all known about for the last sort of 50 or 80 years, which is the other kind of bond. So let's just talk about an RSA retail savings bond quickly, and then I'll talk about the normal bond, the most traditional investment around. So RSA retail savings bonds, to me, they're a really good parallel for a fixed deposit. It's something that you invest a certain amount of money with Treasury, and they'll promise you a fixed interest rate or an interest rate related to inflation, and it will either be for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and the like. So there's no real chance that you're not going to get your money back. And also the interest rate is about the only thing that's variable with the inflation-linked ones. But otherwise, the normal RSA retail bond, you know what you're getting the day you go in. So if you take a long-term one, the likelihood is you're going to get 8% a year for the next 5 years, and then you get your money back. Nice and simple, no fees, no fuss. Apparently, not always the best service, but pretty simple.
Doreen sent me a message earlier on to say that the rate on the RSA rate savings bond went from 10% to 11.5% in June, and she was very pleased with that effect. And that was kind of weird, because if you put money into a money market account, that interest rate has fallen, but because the risk of lending money to the South African government has gone up, they have to pay more, so that rate has gone from 10 to 11.5%. She didn't get her payment at the end of June, but she got a double payment at the end of July. And she wonders if you know why that would happen. I mean, she's not complaining, I don't think. She's just making an observation and says it does happen occasionally where they skip a month and you get a double payment the next.
I think that's probably going to be issues around capacity and maybe COVID makes it worse. So I don't think it was certainly not a decision or a calculated thing. I think that's just, an unfortunate bad admin.
That's one of the service issues you refer to, though. I mean, I think that's the point. And therefore, if you are going to be investing in an RSA government savings bond, make sure that you've got an emergency fund. Make sure that you've got easily accessible capital available just to cover you for a month or two if those payments, those regular payments, don't actually happen.
And I think she's really lucky, because if I'm looking at the rates now, and to get a 5-year rate at the moment is 8%. And I think we chatted about it a couple of months ago, it was 10%, and I didn't even see it shoot up to 11.5 before it dropped back to 8. If I were her, I'd just keep stum and enjoy the high rate that she's getting.
Don't draw attention to it, Doreen.
Don't draw attention. Yeah. Don't tell us on national radio about it. Yes. So then we've got the other kind of bond, which I'm going to explain really simply, because this isn't a school. And let's just say government wants to borrow money because they're going to build a new road from point A to point B. They'll go out and they'll say, okay, we need 20 billion rand, and we promise to pay you in the current environment, let's say, 8% a year on that money, and we'll pay it. We will pay it every year, and we'll give you back the 20 billion at the end of the 20-year period. So if you bought it on day one as it gets issued, you know everything you need to know about that bond. You know that you know what the interest rate is. You know you're going to get your capital back, and there's no variability on that bond if you hold it from day one right through to the end of the time frame for that investment. And your only real risk there is just simply that government starts to default on their debt. But beyond that, you don't have to worry about inflation, interest rates, market cycles, or anything. The difficulty with this is that there are very few people that will buy a bond and hold it for 20 years. So typically what happens is that because these bonds are really tradable, so you know, the jargon for that is liquidity, where there are lots of buyers, lots of sellers. It's very easy for those things to trade without much of a difference between the buying price and the selling price, because they're usually very in demand investments. So what happens is with those sort of traditional, let's just say the 20-year bond, is if you start today and the interest rate is 8%, and let's just say in the unlikely event that the Reserve Bank decides in a few months' time to drop interest rates by 2%. That means that all of a sudden, you know, if you wanted to get a return on your cash, the best you could hope for would be 6% with a new bond. But if you were the lucky person that bought the bond today and you got your interest rate at 8%, you know that you're doing better than anyone else who wants to buy the new bonds. And so what happens now is you can say, well, hang on, I'm happy to sell my bond. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell it at a bit of a premium to what I paid. So instead of paying, let's just say, 100 Rand for every bond, I'm willing to sell it for 104 Rand because if you want a higher interest rate, you're going to need to pay up for that. And so that's what starts to happen with bonds now, is that they then develop an ability to make you profits, not just on the interest, but on the capital that you've put in as well, or, of course, losses. And losses would happen if someone, if the Reserve Bank, let's say in a couple of years' time, decides to start pushing up interest rates again because they're worried about inflation. And let's say they go from, if the repo rate is, or prime is now 7, and they push the interest rates up by 2 or 3%, then it might be quite hard for you to get a good price for your bond, because people are going to say, well, hang on, I'll just wait for a new bond to be issued, and I'll get a better interest rate from new bonds than you're going to get from yours. So if you want to sell your bond, you're going to have to give it to me at a discount to what you paid. And if you paid 100 bucks, you're going to have to sell it to me for 96 or something okay. like that.
Can I buy a government bond directly? Not an RSA retail savings bond, but can I go and invest in the R186 government bond? Or can I, if government issues a bond and says, we want to build a road and need to raise 100 billion rand, can I go and give them 500 rand and say, I would like a stake in that road, please. I'd like to contribute to the building of that road. Is that mechanism available to me?
It is, but then the trick here is that not every stockbroker is authorized and licensed to sell bonds to individuals. So quite a few years ago, it wasn't really possible for an individual to buy bonds because they traded in batches of a million rand or more. But that changed over time, and then the bond exchange joined with the stock exchange, but not every stockbroker has the ability to just sell your bond. So there are certain stockbrokers that do. I don't know the answer to the next question, which might be who are those ones. And but that's something that you if you wanted to buy a bond, you'd need to do a bit of phoning around or mailing around to find out if your particular stockbroker is authorized to sell, or to buy and sell, I should say. So definitely individuals can, and the days of doing it in the million rand batches is gone. That doesn't need to happen anymore.
Which is good news, but also there are mechanisms of doing it. There are easier ways of doing it, perhaps, and less risky ways. You can diversify your risk, because we know you like to do this. Exchange-traded funds, maybe unit trusts as well. There are bond unit trusts and exchange-traded funds that exist that allow you to buy a basket of these things.
Exactly right, and I think for me that as you said, I'm generally going to say that for most types of assets that we buy, I would hate to buy only one share in my share portfolio or only one bond in my bond portfolio. I'd much rather buy a spread. So for most retail investors or private investors, this is the ideal way to buy the bond market. Is you can buy them as an exchange traded fund. And typically, that means you can buy it anywhere from any stockbroker or any platform. And, the low-cost platforms all have these exchange-traded funds, on their platform. So that's probably the best way to do it. And I wouldn't be too clever about it. I'd just simply buy the normal, all bond index. I think they call it the Gavi is actually the name of it. And those are generally also very cheap to buy and very liquid. So that to me is an ideal way to buy bonds. If you think that you'd like to pay a fund manager to buy buy bonds for you and to buy and sell them at different times, then you're quite right. There are lots and lots of bond unit trusts as well, because these are big components of pension funds, balanced funds, and the like. So it's a much bigger market, for example, than the stock market, It is one of the areas where fund managers have a bit of a better track record of beating the index than normal, and that's the bond market. If you look at equity fund managers, something we've spoken about before, it's very hard for equity fund managers to beat the stock market index in South Africa. But bond managers have a bit of a better track record generally to do that. And to me, for example, if you look at South Africa, where we've got interest rates at 50-year lows, I am worried that the next move on interest rates, and I don't think it'll happen this year, but in the future, will be an upwards move in interest rates. And if that happens, you might see a capital loss on your bond. And in that instance, you probably want to pay a bond manager, because at least they can manage the kinds of bonds they buy so that they limit the risk of rates rising and causing a capital loss, which would be hard to do in an index. The index is just going to move as interest rates move.
And an unfair question, because I'm not sure that you'll have the answer ready, but let's test you, because you know how I like to test you. Am I likely to get a better return from a retail savings bond or from buying an EFT or a unit trust?
I think it's probably going to be a really close race between those two over the next, let's say, five or 8 years. I think to look at that difference, to me, you're probably really sure of getting a better return from bonds if you have a 10-year view, but most of us have generally as investors, we look at 5 years, and I think it's probably very, very close. And so if someone's got almost no appetite for risk, and they can lock in a return of 8% on the 5-year RSA retail bond, then my view is that that's probably the preferred way to go. We've mentioned the service issues, but I think if you've got a bit of a longer time frame, then to me, I think I'll probably would back the bond market in general rather than the RSA retail market for a slightly better return.
And the advantage also, then you don't have to commit to a time frame if you're buying an exchange traded fund. With the retail savings bond, you've got a fixed time frame. You have to be in for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever the time frames are. With an exchange traded fund, you can get in and out tomorrow without a consequence. I mean, you don't want to be doing that, of course, and you're tied in, and that may be a good thing. But at least, if there's not much difference in performance, why bother owning the RSA retail savings bond in the first place, unless you can't help yourself from switching in and out of investments?
Well, I think the one thing is that a lot of people buy bonds because they're looking for a fairly certain rate of interest. They want that predictable income because potentially they're retired and they need to live off that income. And then if they start to become unsettled by the prospect of actually losing capital because interest rates might rise, then you might find that prospect of the risk of losing capital becomes a bit scary for people. And that's where there's no capital risk on the RSA retail bond. They know they're going to get the 8%. And in a low interest rate environment like we're now, that might still be attractive for people who just can't stomach risk at all. I think that's the thing about bonds is they are perceived to be low risk. And then in general, if you're buying good government bonds, that is true, but they do. There is certainly the ability for them to lose money. I think, right at the end of Feb, we saw that where every asset class basically in the world lost money for a bit of time. And government bonds around the world were certainly assets that did lose money quite sharply. They did recover, but I think that's probably the big trade-off if I were to think about someone who doesn't like risk, is trade-off a bit of capital growth and liquidity, then take the RSA retail bond. But if you can stomach a bit of moves up and down, and you want a bit of a better return and the liquidity, then maybe buy the bond exchange traded fund or the bond unit trust.
Asked and answered. Thank you, Warren Ingram, personal financial advisor and executive director at Galileo Capital.